really cared about retaining the world reserve currency, none of this shit would have happened. We wouldn't have signed an executive order to go green. We wouldn't have weaponized dollar and now publicly talking of confiscating Russian forex reserves. And we sure as hell wouldn't have let what's happened to our wonderful country happen and watch it just fall apart right in front of our faces. So when I say, is this too stupid to be stupid? No, it's not. They know what they're doing. And I think they realize we are too far down the rabbit hole. And the only way out is to default. And it better to point to a villain and create a rallying cry for a public that doesn't spend enough time researching like you and I or your listeners do and will believe it. Hook, line, and sinker.
They will.
How could they do that to us? Honey, we need to sign and take the CBDC. And that's how you reset.
In 2023, according to MIT Living Wage Calculator, folks in major cities needed around $68,499 just to make ends meet comfortably. But guess what happened next? In just 1 year, that number shot up a whopping 40% to $96,500. Can you believe how much inflation has affected us? That's the kind of inflation that keeps us up at night. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure can't afford to keep pace with that kind of skyrocketing cost of living. It's downright scary. But you know what's even scarier? Not doing anything about it. That's why I've been talking to folks over at Miles Franklin. They're all about helping regular people like you and me protect our hard-earned savings. With gold and silver, you can lock in the value of your money and shield yourself from the ups and downs of the economy. So if you are like me and want to keep your nest egg safe and sound, reach out to Miles Franklin at info@milesfranklin.com. Just mention my name, Sarah sent me, and they'll take care of you like family, because it's just how we do things here in Middle America. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your future today.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have my friend Andy Scheckman coming back to the program. We're going to dive deep into a lot of different topics around monetary policy and what the heck is going on. Are we going to have hyperinflation? I talked to him about the MIT numbers and smart asset, which I published on my website about where we saw 40% increase in the large cities, like about the top 100 or so large cities that they were tracking that showed from 2023 to 2024, there was a comfortable living index of increase of 40%, meaning you just take 20% of your income, pay off debts, and save for retirement. And that is the whole formula I show you. It's not like it's outrageous. That went up by 40%. And since 2022, it went up by 69%. I mean, people can't handle these kind of inflationary numbers. So we talk about that. We talk about could we see a Weimar Republic here? I mean, we are seeing the collapse of our currency, but we're seeing a collapse of our entire society. I mean, I know people are seeing this. And what the heck? And we talk about, is it on purpose? And he talks about specific things that they're doing that is so stupid that it has to be on purpose. I mean, they can't be this stupid. And the average person has no clue. They have no clue what's going on. And so they can be sheeped around however they want while they collapse our country. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the BRICS nations, how they're slowly pulling out of their dependency with the United States to the point where suddenly they're not going to be dependent on us at all. And that's when things just... Or they get to a point where like, okay, we don't care anymore. We're not that dependent and they'll just let it fall. I don't know. It's going to be suddenly a time where the thing just free falls and everything switches over. And his theory is this is how they're going to force everybody onto the CBDC system that they're planning with FedNow, and that we will just be stuck within their system. You either sign into their system or you're going to lose everything. For the majority of the people who aren't buying gold, who aren't buying silver, who don't have assets outside of the system so that they will be safe regardless of what happens. So that's what we talk about. I also talk to him about what do you really need to be safe? If the system goes down, how do we decouple personally from the dollar? How do we keep ourselves safe? How much money do we need invested? You know, for retirement, you know, they always say $2 million, depending on when you retire, what age you are, you need to be able to retire comfortably. I mean, that's a lot. Most people don't have it, but that's what they say. I don't know if that's true or not. So how much do you need of gold, silver, of land, of other assets that are decoupled from the dollar to provide protection for you, insurance for you? So we talk about that as well. And for those of you who are interested in buying gold and silver, I've been working with these guys forever. I mean, he used to live in Minnesota. He's right in, was in my backyard. I was teaching at the University of Minnesota, and I was the first one to interview him back then. He had another person that was doing all his PR stuff, and I'm like, no, I want him on my show. I don't care about your PR guy. And so we developed a relationship, and he's been coming on my show ever since. He's just great. I've never had a complaint. He said, if you email him at info@milesfranklin.com, he'll send you the price list, which is more competitive than anything you'll find online. And you'll see when you get the price list, you can compare. It's more competitive for your IRAs, for your 401ks. It's more competitive than what you will find online and from other companies. You just got to email them, tell them that Sarah sent you, and he'll send you that. They'll take care of you. So email info@milesfranklin.com, tell him Sarah sent you, and he'll email you the price list. And they have really high level people that they work with. They're all graduates of places like Wharton and other business schools. They know what they're doing. You're not just going to get an order taker on the phone. So you'll be able to have your questions answered. And even if you don't want to talk to somebody, they have an online system. You can just go there. You can say, you got them for me. That helps my show. That helps my show keep going. It funds my existence. But you can buy smaller orders online if that's what you want to do. Or you just send them an email once you're set up. Hey, Andy, I want, or whoever you're working with, I want another, $1,000 worth of gold or silver, and they just do it. Okay, bam. It's really easy. So anyways, I hope you look into this. I know it's really serious. I just don't know the timing. That's the whole thing. And it's because they're doing it slowly, then methodically. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're used to in this country, everything going fast, quarterly. So when things aren't happening fast, we're seeing all these signs. We've been seeing it for years, right? And we're, what the heck? He first came on my show in 2018, where suddenly this huge others group who are buying silvers and gold appeared for the first time in history. And since then, they've just methodically doing this. In the United States, we're used to things so quickly that we don't understand this slow, long-term process of decoupling and protecting ourselves. I just had David Dubine on my show, and I published it for, well, we have a public show, which was really great about what's not great, the topic isn't, but it's a great show talking about how they have centralized the food production system, or how, not how they have, how they want to, and all the plans to do that. Because, as Kissinger said, in order to control the people, you control the food. In order to control countries or continents, you control energy. In order to control the world, you control the money. So today's show is about the money, but the show I just did was about food and how they're wanting to centralize that control, which is stupid, but you can learn about it. But we also talked about how the West, or the East, is creating a wall to protect themselves against the West. They're asking their people to come back. They're doing all these things. And so I did a, for my Substack subscribers, you can watch that with David Dubine as well. So you can go to sarahwestall.substack.com for that one. Okay, let's get into this really interesting show with my friend Andy Shechtman. Hi, Andy. Welcome back to the program.
It has been so long, Sarah. It's wonderful to see you. I very much have been looking forward to coming back on, and thank you for having me. Hope you're doing well.
Well, you're our listeners and mine, one of our, probably my favorite financial analysis. Well, you can analyze the global environment and look at it from all different perspectives. There's very few that can do this. And so I just so much appreciate it when you're on. And there is a ton going on. And I want to talk first about the inflation that's happening in the United States and get your feedback on it. Using the MIT wage calculator, wage index, I can't remember the exact name of it. Living wage calculator is what it's called. And then Smart Asset took it and came up with a formula as well using MIT's data. And they showed that in the big cities, just from last year to 2024 to 2023, that it's increased in the top 100 or so biggest cities, 40% increase in comfortable living and wage, what it would take. And since 2022, we saw a 69% increase. It is unfathomable. People can't live in these conditions.
No, and inflation's not going away. I think that's one of the things that people need to understand. And this is why you're seeing the Fed pivot, so to speak, to what they were originally talking about. We are going to get 4 rate decreases this year, and then it turned to 3, and now it that may happen in June. And you got the Fed chief from Minneapolis, your backyard, saying, well, you know what? It may not happen at all if inflation stays sticky. Well, they've lied to us about everything, sticky. Right? They originally said that there was no inflation, but then it was transitory, whatever the hell that means. And then it was structural, and then it was under control. And, you know, they measure inflation by a system that has been massaged and changed in order to fit an inflationary agenda. The CPI, it should be called, excludes things like food and energy and housing. And just so happens that these are the things that seem to be very expensive these days, along with many other things that are not included. And, you know, you talk about the cost of living. The biggest expense to all of us in our age bracket isn't even included in there, and that's taxes, which keep going higher, should be in there. But the bottom line is that inflation and the cost of living, look, the amount of money that has been injected into the system over the last several years is unprecedented, and more money was put into the system in the last 4 years than in the entire history of the United States preceding it. That, coupled with ultra low interest rates and distorted supply chains, has created an environment that we haven't even begun to see the end of yet. Inflation will only get worse. And this is why you're seeing them back away from all of the talk about lowering interest rates. You know, they say want to get down to a 2% inflation level. Well, even if you believe their lying metrics, we're still roughly 60, 70% above that number. So why would they ever embark upon rate decreases when they're nowhere near where they want to be, right? And those numbers are a lie. If you go to shadowstats.com, which is a man named John Williams, and all he has, really does is use the metrics by which they used to be measured in 1980 and 1990, his numbers will tell you that we are much closer to 10 or 11% inflation, not the 3 or 4 that they want us to believe. And so, yeah, inflation is something I believe that will only get worse. And, you know, when you talk about the inner cities, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that you're going on to the inner cities. How does 11%, even using shadow stats, how does that translate into the inner cities and MIT's data of that kind of interest increase?
You know, I don't know, because I'm not familiar with the article, but all I can tell you is that the numbers that we are being given are a complete and total lie in every respect. And so it comes to a point where we have to start to, I think, trust our gut rather than what the numbers that we're being told. You have to understand that, you know, the Federal Reserve's policy, Sarah, is their mandate is to control inflation, price controls, really, inflation and or the cost of goods, the cost of things, inflation and full employment. And so, you know, they have a vested interest with the massive amount of debt that we have out there, that if you have high levels of inflation, interest rates should be much, much higher to compensate for that loss of purchasing power. And so when you have a country as indebted as we are, if they told the truth as to what inflation really is, we'd already have defaulted, because the cost of financing the debt would be so exorbitant that there'd just be no way to continue. So this is a system where if you rely upon the numbers that are coming out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you will always be behind the eight ball. So who knows what the real levels of inflation are, but suffice it to say, I don't believe you will see the Federal Reserve lower interest rates this year. Even in an election year. If they do, it will reignite the inflation engine and things will only get much, much, much worse. They'll probably just leave them where they are. But the bottom line is that the numbers are not going away, the inflation numbers. And if anything, I believe will get much, much worse as the rest of the world continues to shed our U.S. treasuries and dump dollars and look to other alternatives. And that's something we can talk about as it relates to the BRICS and whatnot. But yeah, I believe that inflation is here to stay and will only get worse over the coming months and years.
Could we see a Weimar Republic here in the United States?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. People would say there's a term in economics called Gibson's paradox, and this is the inverse relationship between real interest rates and the price of gold. And so traditionally, people would think that if interest rates are going higher, it's bad for gold. And in a normal sense, in an environment where the dollar was strong and the country was like it was when you and I were kids, where we respected authority, where there wasn't lawlessness in the cities, where there wasn't an open border that has allowed 12 million people to enter this country illegally, where there wasn't questions related to the two-tier justice system or the legitimacy of the elections, or there wasn't the woke ideology where people are being hired based upon their social status rather than their merits, or a system that has such great divisiveness in it where you are defined by who you voted for. All of these things come into play. All of them come into play. But, you know, this is not the same country that it once was. And I think that rising interest rates in this environment right now is very, very bullish for gold. And what I mean by that is simply this. The reason, amongst others, you know, one reason that rates are creeping higher is that the world realizes the Fed's painted into a corner, and that they, if they raise rates, they'll blow up the economy. If they lower rates, they will reignite inflation, which leads to higher rates anyway, which blows up the economy. They've painted themselves into a corner. And so one of the things that they are doing is shedding U.S. treasuries. And as China, it used to have $3 trillion in treasuries, they're down to about $700 billion, and they've been replacing it with gold. Now, follow me on this. All Japan, China, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Russia, all of these countries dump treasuries. And at a very methodical pace, and they've been replacing it with gold. This is why rates have been going higher. This is why gold has been going higher, because they look at gold. Now I'm going to get to your question on Weimar, but it's all part of a bigger picture. But they look at gold. First of all, when you look at a U.S. Treasury or a Treasury bond or debt of a country, it has a very, very tiny historical significance of being an asset, the debt of another country. But gold has been an asset for 5,000 years. Now, if you go back to the turn of the century, go back to 2000, gold has appreciated roughly 9% per year compounding. And that's way over tripled the performance of the bond market. But when the United States weaponized the dollar, and you got our brain dead Treasury Secretary going to Brazil, which is a member of BRICS, saying we need to confiscate the Russian forex reserves, not just sanction them, but confiscate their $380 billion in cash and use it to fund the Ukrainian effort, you've crossed a line where no one in the world will ever trust us again, ever, especially the Southern Hemisphere. So they are slowly shedding treasuries, which is lifting interest rates, which would normally be bad for gold because gold is a non-interest-bearing asset. But these big central banks, they don't give a crap about correlations between interest rates and gold. They don't care between rising real rates and gold. They don't care of the correlation between the rising dollar and gold. They want the gold. They bought for 3 years in a row the most sophisticated traders in the world. Record numbers, the central banks. They're divesting treasuries at record numbers, the central banks. China's bought for 17 months in a row. And for your listeners who forgot, what is gold? It is the only other tier one asset in the world, according to the BIS as of 2019, a riskless tier one asset. Do you think there's any coincidence that all the central banks are buying it? So let's just get back to your question. Could there be Weimar Republic? As rates go higher, to me, it's very bullish for gold, because to me, what it is symbolizing as gold is moving higher in a rising interest rate environment is that the world is shedding dollars and treasuries slowly and methodically. There's a term I use called logarithmic decay, little by little by little by little by little by little, then bang, all at once, like going over the falls. And that's what is happening. Little by little by little by little by little, they're selling their treasuries and putting it into gold, which has outperformed the bond market for the last century, for the last 25 years, has no counterparty liability, has no default liability, no sanction or confiscation liability. And it's an asset that is being remonetized all around the world. And the rest of the world says, if you're not ideologically aligned with the U.S., they're going to kick you out of SWIFT and take your money too. So instead of holding their treasuries, slowly sell them, not too fast to cut off your nose to spite your face. but fast enough to get out and instead of rolling them over, take the proceeds and buy gold. So rising rates, what it symbolizes to me more than anything in this environment where the country's lost its bearing, right? Socially, morally, economically, geopolitically, in every way, we've lost our identity. It's being whitewashed. They're ripping down statues and, you know, all the stuff that once was important to us, like the Pledge of Allegiance, gone. So as all of this is happening, we're not the same country we once were. God willing, we can right the ship at some point, but the world is like, you know what? Not only are they weaponizing the dollar, not only are they inflating their currency, not only does their bond market suck, but look at them. They're a joke. Their borders, their elections, their Justice Department, their lawlessness, the whole thing. They're a joke. And so they're selling treasuries and buying bonds. Now, what does that lead to? Well, that means if no one's going to buy our bonds, we are a country that is addicted to spending like a heroin addict. We are increasing $1 trillion of debt or incurring $1 trillion in debt every 3 months. That would have been unfathomable. That would take 200 years before to do $1 trillion in debt. We're doing it every 3 months. The debt level is increasing so fast. And by the way, I always say, how big is $1 trillion? Trillion seconds ago, Sarah, 31,688 years ago. That's $1 trillion seconds. We're adding $4 trillion a year minimum to the debt. And this is accelerating. So what does it lead to? Who in their right damn mind would buy any duration treasury bond from us? 10-year paying 4, almost 5%? Really? Silver was up 10% last week. Who in their right mind would buy a 10-year treasury from a government that has chosen inflation over austerity and is weaponizing the dollar and has lost its bearing when they can buy gold, which has no counterparty risk, no default risk, no sanction risk, none of that? Who's going to buy the treasuries? Well, there's only one entity. That's the Federal Reserve, which creates monetization of assets, which is what? Weimar Republic, which is where the Fed has, there's no one else to buy the bonds to satisfy our ridiculous spending habit. So who buys the bonds? The Fed buys the bonds. They create money out of thin air and they buy the bonds. That's monetization of assets. That is the road to Weimar Republic. So when we see higher interest rates, which the pundits, the real smart economists say, that's bad for gold. Yeah, bullshit. Not right now it isn't, because it is signaling that the dollar and the U.S. economy the bloom on the rose has died. And I think it's a whole different environment. And if you look at what gold is doing right now, I mean, it's $2,360 an ounce. It's gone up $300 in the past, or $200 in the past 3 weeks. And it continues to move higher and higher and higher and higher. And we can talk about this, but the West has lost control, I believe, of the price suppression of gold. They've lost control of it. And I want to talk about that after I get your comments. But yes, ultimately, rising rates right now is the precursor, in my mind, if things don't get better, to Weimar Republic, because there's no one foolish enough to buy bonds of any duration in this country. So who's going to do it? Who's going to finance? Let me say one other thing, just to hammer this home. The Congressional Budget Office, which is the last a nonpartisan group in Washington, right? And they came out and said, and by the way, these numbers that they're talking about do not include the 12 million people here illegally. How the hell are we going to pay for their education, their health care, and their housing? Well, forget about that. But they said, as is right now, by 2031, in less than 7 years, that 100% of all tax revenue, 100%, will go just to pay the interest on the debt and the mandatory entitlements like Social Security, which is $77 trillion underfunded. How long ago was a trillion seconds? 31,688 years ago, and it's $77 trillion underfunded. 100% of tax revenue. So ask yourself this question. Why would anyone buy our bonds? And how will the United States keep its supremacy and its hegemony when 100% of discretionary spending, which includes military, has to be borrowed? So we're going to borrow money from our foes to fund our military to go around and police the world. That makes sense. And so all of these things are just too stupid to be stupid, which keeps bringing me back to this was intended. And, you know, I'll get into all this if you'd like, but first I'll listen to any comments you have about what I said.
Well, the intended part is important for people to understand because it's too stupid. That's what makes us realize it's intended. But the Weimar Republic, let's talk about what hyperinflation really is, because people get concerned and don't understand. And I don't know, what is hyperinflation? Is it something that happens monthly? And what is that percentage? Because when you're seeing the percentages that I was talking about with MIT and SmartAss, you know, with big cities, it's like, wow, that's pretty big. That's not quite hyperinflation yet, though. That's just really bad inflation. So what is hyperinflation technically?
I mean, it's a massive, massive, massive increase in the money supply is what it is. But in Weimar Republic, I mean, there wasn't Zelle and Venmo and bank wires. People in Weimar Republic would get paid, take a wheelbarrow full of Reichmark to the store to run it as fast as they can, because the mark was losing so much value so fast, to buy a loaf of bread. And they'd go into the store and find out that, okay, this is how much a loaf of bread is. They'd come back out to get their Reichmark, and the wheelbarrow was gone, and the currency was laying on the ground. But there wasn't the speed at which money moves like there is now. How do I see hyperinflation happening? I'll tell you how I see it happening.
How much is it? You know what I mean? Is it 10% a week? Is it a 40% a month? You know, I mean, what are we looking
at? I don't know what
at?
The classic definition of it is.
You know
but
what I'm
I mean,
saying.
You know,
because we're
mean,
not in there yet, but
no,
it's pretty bad.
We're not. But yeah, it would be much higher, you know, 30, 40, 50%. I don't know what the classic definition
month,
of it is. Well, annualized. So, but, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And when my father's best friend, who's a car enthusiast, was in Argentina when they were going through it, he was in a Ferrari dealership and they were changing the price of the cars on a chalkboard every few minutes, because price just kept going higher and higher and higher, or the currency kept losing value faster and faster and faster. But I've said for 3 years now, probably on your show, I see a time, you know, I was talking about BRICS with you long before anyone was, and I have always seen a time when, look, the lead economic advisor for the United States government, Sarah, is a man named Jared Bernstein. And not only does he have a degree in music and a master's degree in social work, he is the lead economic advisor to the country whose main thesis is losing the world reserve status. It is a privilege we can no longer afford, right? He's written reports on this, dethroned King Dollar, picked up in the New York Times. He's given interviews in the Washington Post about losing the reserve status. So by weaponizing the dollar, by signing the executive order to go green, you couldn't do two things better to destroy the dollar hegemony and then let your country go to shit by letting all these people in, by creating divisiveness, by letting lawlessness reign in the cities and all of the commercial real estate blow up and on and on, and the Justice Department and the elections and, okay, all this stuff. So you destabilize it offshore, you destabilize it onshore, you weaponize the dollar, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning and what's happened? Well, Saudi Arabia, which is the linchpin to the dollar hegemony, because remember, it is the protection of the Saudi kingdom and their willingness to sell oil through OPEC in dollars, it gives us the petrodollar world reserve status that Jared Bernstein says we can't afford anymore. So how about we weaponize the dollar, make all these countries say, shit, if we don't align with them, they're going to take our stuff too. And then we say, we're going to go green. We sign an executive order. We don't need oil anymore. Thanks for the memories, guys. And what has happened? Well, we've seen Saudi Arabia join the Belt Road Initiative, along with every other OPEC country, all of them. The Belt Road Initiative, the largest infrastructure project in human history, connecting 75% of human population right now, north of 50% of global GDP right now. They've joined the BRICS. We know that. They've joined the BRICS New Development Bank. They joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the largest regional financial and military organization on the planet. And they told folks in Davos at their meeting last winter that, hey, you know what? We're open to taking other currencies for oil. So little by little by little by little, we are seeing oil being sold in other currencies. Like, for example, China is buying oil from Saudi Arabia, paying for it in yuan. Those yuan are immediately convertible to gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. What is gold? The only other tier one reserve asset. So how does this all happen? How do we see hyperinflation? I'll tell you how it happens. Saudi Arabia and the rest of OPEC, we already are sanctioning Iran and Russia, two OPEC members or OPEC plus. And United Arab Emirates said, who just joined BRICS, that they don't want to take dollars for oil anymore. And all of these countries are joining together and they say, look, and by the way, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia earlier this year said that China was their most important trading partner in oil this year and for the next 50. He chose those years, those words very carefully. It was 50 years ago that we struck the deal with the Saudis to become the petrodollar.
Interesting.
So he says, hey, guys, look, thank you. We appreciate the last 50 years. But
he gave us the middle finger. It wasn't the thank you. It was a middle finger.
He's like, look, you guys signed an executive order to go green. Look, we don't really like the way you weaponize the dollar against our BRICS members, Russia and Iran. And we don't align ideologically. So listen, because you're going green and because of all this stuff and because your country is turned into a who knows what any longer, we're going to not take dollars for oil anymore. And bang, that fast, every single country who has been slowly de-dollarizing, slowly selling treasuries, slowly striking deals with other currencies and buying gold instead of treasuries because gold has no counterparty liability, no risk. Now they're not going to take dollars for oil anymore. And every single country on the planet that's had to stockpile them for 50 years in order to buy oil has created a synthetic demand for the dollar. If they don't need to hold them anymore, then they dump them faster, faster, faster. As it keeps going down, they dump dollars and they hit our shore. Those dollars hitting our shore creates hyperinflation. Now, the byproduct of hyperinflation would be interest rates that spike to the moon in order to compensate for the loss of purchasing power. Now, this is why I say it wasn't intended. Follow me here. Jared Bernstein says, we can't afford it anymore. My mentor, Richard Russell, used to say 20 years ago, smartest man I ever knew, and he would say, the Fed has two choices. 20 years ago, when the debt was, you know, 15 trillion, not 34 trillion plus 100 plus trillion in unfunded liabilities, he'd say the Fed is so screwed, they have two choices: to inflate the way all governments have done, or to default. He would say inflate or die. How about option number three? Find a villain, those sons of bitches, Xi Jinping and Putin and OPEC. How could they do it to us? Just like this, the world was so naive to take a shot that was, in just a few weeks, we got this new miracle vaccine and everyone believed it. They will believe that it wasn't the brain dead monetary and fiscal policy of the government and the Fed that created this problem, this huge, huge problem of debt that we can never dig our way out of. But it's the fact that those people dropped the U.S. dollar as a sole settlement currency for oil. And when that happens, interest rates have to spike in order to compensate for 30, 40% inflation. You can't have 5% interest rates and 40% inflation. Your currency dies. So that's why my republic right there. So instead, rates go to the moon. And what happens? Stocks, bonds, real estate, the banking system, the insurance companies, poof, they blow up. Those sons of bitches. But have no fear, Sarah, because the number two economic advisor at the United States government is Lael Brainard, who worked at the Treasury, who was number two under Powell at the Fed as vice chair. And when she was at the Fed, she worked with MIT in the establishment of the new central bank digital currency that Biden fast-tracked by executive order the development of with MIT. And she also ran Point for FedNow, which came out about six months ago. It's being piloted, which is Venmo or Zelle on steroids backed by the Fed. And if it comes out fully, it will replace checks and wires where I can send you money like that, and it's backed by the Fed. So, okay, now let's put it all together. You sign an executive order to go green, you weaponize the dollar, and you do everything you can to not hold on to the prestige of being the world reserve currency. You let your country go astray so people say, what the hell's going on over there? That's not the place we want to be any longer. You allow all of these countries, another 36 countries that formally applied to the BRICS. You're talking potentially 46 countries by October when the big meeting happens in Russia, and you have all of these countries joining together trading outside the dollar, and all of a sudden they say we're not going to take dollars for oil anymore. Everyone dumps dollars, the dollars hit our shore, inflation goes up. It's the Great Reset, the Klaus Schwab moment. Stocks, bonds, real estate, the banking system, and insurance companies are all loaded with treasuries and inversely correlated to a spike in interest rates. So now you point to a villain But have no fear, because what is Lael Brainard? A modern monetary theorist. She wants to issue a CBDC. Sign on the dotted line, Miss Sarah. And I know your insurance policies are dead. I know that your bank account is blown up. I know that your bond portfolio has blown up and your real estate's worth pennies on the dollar and you're destitute. But just take the CBDC, sign on the dotted line, and we will make you whole. Now, everything I said up until that point is factual. Using Occam's razor, the most logical explanation, if we really cared about retaining the world reserve currency, none of this shit would have happened. We wouldn't have signed an executive order to go green. We wouldn't have weaponized dollar and now publicly talking of confiscating Russian forex reserves. And we sure as hell wouldn't have let what's happened to our wonderful country happen and watch it just fall apart right in front of our faces. So when I say, is this too stupid to be stupid? No, it's not. They know what they're doing. And I think they realize we are too far down the rabbit hole. And the only way out is to default. And it better to point to a villain and create a rallying cry for a public that doesn't spend enough time researching like you and I or your listeners do and will believe it. Hook, line, and sinker.
They will.
How could they do that to us? Honey, we need to sign and take the CBDC. And that's how you reset. Now, here's one last piece. The $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, government, military pensions. Who's that owed to? Us. Who's been selling treasuries? Them. Who's been buying treasuries? Us, chasing yield, leaving the banks, buying treasuries, earning 5%. The hedge funds, us. So what I'm getting at is of the 155 plus trillion in debt that we owe, the majority is owed to us. Whole hell of a lot easier to blow up the system under a rallying cry and say, those sons of bitches did it to us. We're going to make you whole. And this is all about patriotism. Let's go and rebuild our country. Take the new CBDC. And them, they hold very little. It's almost all owed to us. And if you look at it from the logical possibility and the things that we are doing, which are completely illogical and counterintuitive, got to ask yourself, wasn't intended? Is it too stupid to be stupid? Or are leaders just that stupid? Don't know. I'll leave that up to all of you.
I don't know either. Henry Kissinger said that you control people with food, you control continents with energy, oil or whatever the energy is, and you control the world with money. And
that's right.
It seems that they want, and every time that there's a geopolitical shift in money, there's war every time. And it seems that there's a faction. I can't figure it out completely, because what you're saying is it's too stupid. It seems like they're doing it on purpose, which seems like it. But it also seems like they want war. As these people, I just did an interview with David Dubine, and it's on my Substack. He says,
I like David. I've done some with him too. Smart dude.
He's really good. And he says that the East is creating a wall to protect themselves against the West, specifically against the United States. And I posted that on my for Substack subscribers. But the point is that, you know, they're slowly doing it, from China having $3+ trillion down to, I think you said 900 billion
700,
versus
yeah.
700 billion of, and they're going to keep reducing it. And I think the war that they want to fight is to stop that. So I think there's factions that want to do smart things, and there's factions that are destroying us. I don't know,
I agree.
Because war always accompanies this kind of situation.
Yeah, well, the difference is when you talk about the BRICS and when you talk about China and Russia, you're talking hypersonic missiles. We don't even have that technology yet. And you're talking about a very dangerous game when you're talking about war now. And people are just complete and total deranged idiots. There's no other way to say it.
Can you disagree that they're trying to force a war? I mean, look what they're doing to Russia and Ukraine. Look what's going on in the Middle East. We're watching a genocide being streamed live. I mean, it's, you know, anybody that can't see what's going on there is, I don't know. we're seeing it live.
We are seeing it live. And, you know, look, the bottom line is simply this, that at this point in the game, if that's the road they want to take us down, God help us all, because this is the end of an empire, and you can see it. And I would like to hope that these countries, if they're smart enough, should understand that they can destroy this country without ever firing a weapon, just dump the dollar and dump U.S. treasuries and create a union of the majority of human population, which they are doing, the majority of gross domestic product, all of the world's commodities, the majority of all the shipping lanes and the majority of all the oil production and everything you need, and you will destroy the West. And I think that's kind of the way that it seems to be going. They're doing
and the Klaus
very
Schwabs,
methodically.
And the Klaus Schwabs of the world are on the side of the East?
I don't know where the Klaus Schwabs are. I mean, I guess you could make that argument, but the World Bank, you know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, this is where I'm confused. And if, you know, and you have like the LaRouche organization, which I like their intent, or it seems like I do, as far as us waking up to what's going on and to create a more peaceful environment and to stop all these wars. They want to stop the wars. But, you know, it looks like in order to stop the wars, we're going to have to reshift reset ourselves and join the BRICS.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll actually be allowed into the BRICS. I mean, if you look at all of the unions, the Belt Road Initiative and the BRICS were nowhere to be mentioned. And you know, when you talk about joining the BRICS, you're talking about losing the dollar hegemony. You're talking about losing
the
petrodollar. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about losing everything.
Are they backed into a corner where they have to go to war then?
I mean, it just seems like if anything that we're building, there's going to be two factions. You're going to have the United States and maybe Canada and the UK and maybe a couple other countries like Australia and New Zealand and the rest of the world. I mean, Mexico has expressed interest in joining the BRICS.
Yeah,
Macron
right.
From France has expressed interest in joining the BRICS and asked to go to the meeting in Johannesburg in August and did a huge trade deal with China, 50-point trade deal ranging from 5G to military engagement, did a huge liquid natural gas deal with UAE paid in yuan. So, you know, sides are being chosen. I don't know how it all plays out, but all I can tell you is that what we are doing is leading to a very dark, dangerous place. And it's as if we are incentivizing
it
to happen rather than clinging to what this country stood for all along, ideologically and culturally, and also doing what we can to foster fairness in let me explain what I mean by fairness with the world reserve currency. You know, they look at us as hypocritical. You talk about what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine. You know, we invaded Iraq 20 years ago and under the guise of weapons of mass destruction, but we're sorry, we didn't find any. But here we are 20 years later, still occupying their country. We're sanctioning 14 of their banks right now because they tried to buy liquid natural gas from Iran and had to use Iranian banks to do so that were on the do not trade list. So we sanctioned those banks. And last year, Iraq made $95 billion in oil revenue that has to be controlled by the New York Fed. We hold it. They don't. They can't even control their own revenue of their natural resources 20 years later. And they asked for $1 billion at the end of 23. And we said, not yet, not right now. And
of their own revenues, of their own money?
Yes. Yes. And so what have they done? They just said they're kicking all Western coalition forces out of the country. They have formally applied to BRICS. They have made trading in dollars illegal. If you own a business and trade in dollars, you'll go to prison. And lastly, as of January 1, all of the banks in Iraq got rid of all green dollar bills. There are none. They're gone. And that's, you know, the country that supposedly we liberated and installed a new government. So the world looks at us as being completely and totally hypocritical.
Well, that's evil, right? I mean, we're taking their money, wouldn't even give them $1 billion from their own sales. And then we wonder why they say, we can't survive even being involved with you. We have to decouple from you.
That's why I say it's too stupid to be stupid. It's intended. Everything that they are doing.
That's right.
Is making the world say, for goodness sake, if, you know, they're going to do this to us. China and Taiwan, they're going to do this to us. Saudi Arabia. So what are they doing? They're finding safety in numbers. Safety in numbers.
How could we be this bad? I mean, how are we this bad? I know it's on purpose that we're going to destroy ourselves by destroying others and everything around us. It's like we go into a house and just blow it up with us in it.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the only there we've painted ourselves that deep into a corner by really by suppression of interest rates. And we've held interest rates down for so long and created massive distortions in asset prices and have gone so deep into debt, the greatest debtor nation of all time. We've reached that point of no return. And when you suppress interest rates and create all these distortions, when it finally unwinds, it unwinds very badly. And you go back to to the roots of Austrian economics. Whenever you have such a massive expansion of credit, it is default, it is followed by a massive contraction of credit. And just as bullish as it was by having low interest rates and easy money for all these years, it will be equally, if not more severely, bearish when all of this unwinds. And not to mention, you have 65% of the country living paycheck to paycheck, 45% those over 100K paycheck to paycheck. You have record indebtedness across the board: government, housing debt, mortgage debt, student debt. 1.6 trillion is the largest asset of the United States government. Look it up. The largest. So when he talks about giving away 10 billion, it's a drop in the bucket. Not only is it illegal and bullshit, it's a drop in the bucket. But the largest asset of the land of the free and the home of the brave is student debt of 1.6 trillion. We have 5 trillion of assets backed against 155 trillion in obligations, funded and unfunded. We've reached that. We're at almost exactly 130% debt to GDP. And to my knowledge, there has never been a country that's crossed that line and come back from it, whether it be by hyperinflation or outright default. We're right there, like 125, 26%. We're right there.
We
And
need to
so we've
default.
reached,
We need to default.
yes.
Essentially, declare
Well, and
bankruptcy
that's
is what
what
we're.
Richard Russell said, inflate or default. And I'm saying find a third reason, and that is to incentivize the world to default for you by dumping dollars and interest rates going to the moon, which corrects all of the imbalance. It's a forest fire that corrects everything. And now you come in under the guise of patriotism and national emergency, take the CBDC, we
Oh,
start over.
geez.
And then no one will. So how do you get then people to trust us? Well, what did Kristalina Georgieva say? She's the head of the International Monetary Fund. She said that a CBDC not backed to anything is just another fiat currency. Well,
That's
what is
right.
gold? The only other tier one asset. Who's been buying it all? Well, yeah, the central bank. So if they're going to issue a CBDC, my guess is the only way to ever make it work would be to remonetize gold and let it go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, peg it to a new system using distributed ledger technology. Say 10% of every new digital dollar is pegged to gold, and you showed the veracity and the immutability of it. You have it independently audited, held in independent vaults, and have it audited continuously, independently, in order to show the veracity and the immutability of the pegging to the new system. You don't need to make it convertible because Charles de Gaulle from France proved the convertible currencies convert when he took all the gold, and that's why Nixon closed the gold window. But instead, you can now everyone is enamored with Bitcoin, with the blockchain, so you can take gold, you can show the veracity on a blockchain, have it audited, and show the veracity and the mutability of it, and now you marry the two of gold and blockchain to give credibility to a new system that has blown up and started over. And the dollar is the foundation of every other currency on the planet. If the dollar craps the bed, it is going to be pain all over the globe. This will not be an easy thing to happen. But those countries, look, the BRICS, it's 17, 18 years in the making. This is not a fly-by-night deal. And it is growing substantially in every way: human population, military, GDP, commodities, you name it. They're growing and sophistication. So this is going to be the East versus the West. I don't know how it all plays out, but what I can tell you is that if you are not a contrarian right now, you're damn well bound to be a victim before this is all said
That's
and
right.
done.
You got to have your ducks in a row. There's an article that we talked about before we started from the Wall Street on Parade, which is a really great site that talks about the Fed for the first time in history showing losses while simultaneously bailing out the large banks. This is just another sign that this is all going down. I don't, we've been talking about it. We've been seeing the signs of this going down for a while. How much longer can they hold off on this?
Well, when you talk about massive inflation, right? So they're losing money. The Fed mandate is that any money that they make, they give to the U.S. government. And they've been giving billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to the U.S. government to fund our insatiable spending habit. Well, if they're not getting that money any longer, and the Fed is loaded with horribly toxic assets. They bought all of this crap at super low interest rates that have 10 plus year duration on it still, most of it. The government's not getting that revenue, so they have to sell the bonds. But the foreigners aren't buying our bonds. In fact, they're selling them. So who's going to buy the bonds? Probably the Fed. And they'll open up shadow. Like, they want us to believe right now that the Cayman Islands is the second or third largest purchaser of our treasuries. Really? That makes a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Yeah, right. Maybe it's a Fed shell corporation in the Cayman Islands.
That's doing probably
the point is, monetization of debt leads to hyperinflation. And when you look at the Fed right now, you know how stupid they are. Not only have they been doing that, but they were doing something similar to that with the BFTP program, the bank funding term program, where banks could go in and borrow money from the Fed at like 4.5% and then walk out the Fed and go in another door at the Fed and give it to them and get paid 5.5%. So they were borrowing money at 4.5% and getting paid 5.5%, something along those lines, 4.8 to 5.5%, making the spread. And the Fed was just doing this. So again, is it too stupid to be stupid, or are we just destroying this system little by little by little? But it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but the people are angry. They're watching the Fed give money to the big boys. They're watching everything being skimmed off. It's as if the people are skimming everything off while they have time. So when the whole system goes down, they're going to be set up and going to be fine.
And Sarah,
they're
who
buying
are the people?
Assets and doing all this crap. BlackRock, they're buying all these assets. All those people. Central
Bank. No. What I'm saying is, who are the people? Me and you. And
yes.
The people who watch you and me and the people who get it, that's the pimple on the elephant's ass. The elephant are the people who are completely brain dead asleep and have no idea what's happening. And those are the ones that are going to gladly take the CBDC when the whole thing resets and blows up. So, yeah, people are mad and damn right they should be. But,
percentage.
It's too small a percentage.
Well, okay, so what do we do? The ones who
and look at what happened
this.
To you. When you tried to tell the world about what was happening, and look at other people like you, they deplatformed you and kicked you off of here and kicked you off of there. And
I still don't get it, because it's an inverted world. We're trying to make things better. We're trying to show people so that we can save lives, we can protect people, and we're the ones kicked off, while people who are supporting communism in China are being promoted on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it doesn't make sense.
It
and that's why
make
I say
sense.
Is it too stupid to be stupid? You know, we talk about what this country is doing. In the span of just 20 days, from March 1st to March 20th, we added $168 billion in debt in 20 days. We just passed another $1.2 trillion government funding bill with about $850,000 earmarked for LGBTQ senior housing. I mean, the stupidity of the way that we spend money.
Why separate it out? Why separate out LGBT for senior housing versus just senior housing?
That's the point.
Just don't discriminate.
We've lost our bearings.
I mean, it's just, don't discriminate. Just, provide for the seniors. Why are we screwing around?
It's ridiculous. And everyone talks about the trillion we're adding every 3 months, but they should also be talking about the interest expense at these levels is rising $100 billion every 4 months. And that will also grow faster too, the interest. So just the interest on the debt. So it's compounding. It's going faster. It's going faster. It's going faster. So they know they're trapped. So that's why I think they are trying to create a reset and have a villain to point to and then issue a CBDC. It's very tragic. It's very sad. And also to openly talk about, well, we shouldn't have the reserve status and go green, which is the linchpin of the hegemony, is our relationship with the Saudi kingdom. That's not so good. And what they have done shows you that they don't really value us anymore. I mean, if you just take a step back, you can see. Now, look, the bottom line is that All of these countries are trading right now in local currencies. All of them. They're trading with one another in their own currencies, and they're buying gold. And little by little, it chips away at the settlement status of the dollar and the reserve status, because the reserve status, they're selling bonds and buying gold. The settlement status, they're not using dollars to settle all of these trades. Like Brazil, they're the second largest exporter of corn in the world. They're selling corn and soybeans to China for yuan, and then immediately buying gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. It's convertible. The yuan is into gold, and taking possession of it. That all used to settle in dollars, and the excess proceeds would go into treasuries. Now they're settling in yuan, and proceeds are going into gold. This is happening all over the world right now. Iran just struck a deal with China to do the modernization of their biggest airport. It's a couple billion dollars in it, $100 billion or whatever, huge amount. It's all being paid for in oil. These all used to settle in dollars. And that's why I like the term logarithmic decay, little by little by little by little by little by little, bang, all at once. People look around and say, well, I don't see anything different. It's because they are doing this methodically. They're waiting until they have critical mass. Another 36 countries are formally applying, and they're base building, and they're
that's right.
The infrastructure is being built, and bang, like that, they're going to flip the switch, and people will not have been able to get out of the way of what they never saw coming. And I've been saying this for 4 years, Sarah. And you know what the scariest thing is? The scariest thing is for 4 years, I started doing podcasts with you when I still lived in Minnesota, 2019, 2020. And if you go back and watch that first video, a lot of what I'm saying here was covered there. And it's all coming true. And it scares the shit out of me. I apologize for being profane, but it scares me.
Well, you came on my show. We talked about the Others group who are buying gold back in 2018 or 2017 when they started doing that. We're like, who are these Others group? And why were they buying gold in mass suddenly? It was suddenly a sharp increase out of the blue.
Yeah. And if you look at the central bank purchases, the central banks have bought more gold over the last 3 years than at any time ever in history. And the central banks, like the Chinese, they're not going to be that transparent about it. So BMO, Bank of Montreal analysts, just came out and said the numbers China are telling us on gold is way undervalued, way lower. Well, they have sovereign wealth funds that will come in and drain all of the exchanges. So you want to hear something interesting? Right now in China, silver is $3 an ounce higher than it is on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. It's $3 an ounce higher than it is in COMEX or the LBMA in London. Gold is about $80 higher. That's called arbitrage. So they are turning up the arbitrage spigot where they'll pay $31 an ounce for silver. So the traders who can access the two markets in the West buy in the West and deliver in the East. So they're buying it any way that they can. Excuse me, in India, has imported over 400 million ounces of silver in the last 2 years. If you look at how much silver has left the COMEX in the last 2 years, it's pretty damn close to 400 million ounces. That's about twice the amount that's held entirely on COMEX and nearly 10 times the amount that is in the registered category. Those are the bars that back the contracts. These countries are draining, but there's more. Like China, how many people know that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, China bought the London Metals Exchange, the LME? That's not the LBMA. The LBMA is the precious metals. The LME is the base metals and the soft commodities. So they are buying up and controlling the platform for tin, copper, zinc, lead, soybeans, wheat, corn, you name it. And now they are warehousing in China the commodities that are being traded on the LME, which they own. Do you see what they're doing? They're buying everything from precious metals to base metals to commodities and striking relationships all around the world.
Yeah, they plan 50 years in advance, and we like do it quarterly because we're stupid. It's just, okay, let me ask you this. How much gold and silver is insurance? This is an important question, okay? This isn't self-serving for you. This is a serious question. Yes. How much gold and silver does somebody need in their possession to be able to make it through a reset and a crash and come out the other end?
I'd ask the question the other way. What exposure do you want to a dying system? What exposure do you want to a currency that is $155 trillion in debt with $5 trillion in assets. What exposure do you want to a banking system that is massively over-leveraged and undercapitalized, or an insurance system that is 90% invested in treasuries, over-leveraged and undercapitalized? What exposure do you want to a system that's lost its bearings in terms of its cultural and historical context? And I'd work backwards from there. It's not, see, the thing is, people need to understand that gold and silver, to me, are not an investment. They're wealth that has lived through everything the world's ever thrown at it. Two world wars, German hyperinflation, the Great Depression, every pandemic, everything. And the central bankers, they don't give a crap about correlations anymore. They don't care about rising real interest rates. They don't care about a rising dollar. They don't care about any of that. They just want the gold. Because gold is being used around the globe to transact cross-border payments, because the dollar and the bond market and the sanctioning and the confiscation and the bullying of the West has created an environment where you have to find an alternative. And gold is the only logical alternative for these countries. And that's why they have bought more than at any time in human history and continue to do so. So how much is enough? You tell me. I don't know. What exposure do you want to a system that like that can blow up on a Monday morning? And that's why I say, if you're not a contrarian, you're not a victim, but do not call me trying to buy gold and silver to get wealthy. Buy me, call me because it is wealth. Yeah, you own enough, you might be wealthy, well, but that's not the reason to own it.
No, it's not. It's insurance. Okay, so let's talk about, like, if you're going to retire, you need $2 million. I know this is scary, but you need, at this point, they claim, you need, depending on the age that you retire, and how long you need to live off of it, they're saying about $2 million, right? I don't know if that's accurate or what. Let's say you work until you're 85, you probably don't need as much. But if you retire when you're 69 or whatever, then you're going to need, and you live to be about, you know, 94, then you need about $2 million. I don't know. It depends on how long you live and all those other factors. What are you telling people from a retirement standpoint and even just from a living standpoint, like people like me, what do we need if the system goes down to bridge the time? This is a serious question. You know,
I'll tell you, I mean, for me personally, there's, when I look at my assets, and I'm not the poster child for finance 101, I believe diversification was created out of fiduciary responsibility by financial advisories, so they don't get sued. To me, the key to investing is not to be broadly diversified. Now, stocks, bonds, real estate, that's supposedly broadly diversified. No, it's not. If interest rates spike, they all die. They're all connected to the dollar. The way to invest is to identify the primary trend, which way the Mississippi River flows from the tip of Minnesota up top all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that's the way the river flows. You know the primary trend of the Mississippi, so jump in with both feet and plug your nose and broadly diversify within it. And that would be gold and silver and platinum and mining shares and agricultural ETFs or farmland, oil and gas, anything that's opposite the dollar, anything that will do well as the dollar falls. That was how you diversify. But to me personally, the only place I have my money, I have a over preponderance of it in physical gold and silver and vaults all around the world. I have a fairly decent mining share portfolio out of respect for my relationship with Sprott, who sends business to me. I've worked with them for a very long time. And the only other place that I put my money, the only other place right now, is short-term treasuries of 6 months duration and usually more like 3 months or less, paying 5%. I would never go longer than 6 months. Never, never, never. But there's still very liquid and paying a return at 5%. You're still earning less than what the real inflation rate is. You're going backwards, but I'm okay. I'd rather have it there than in a banking system. That, how many of your listeners know what bail-ins are? I don't know. You know, bail-ins were written into law in the Dodd-Frank Act. And if a bank goes upside down, there are no bailouts. And that's why when Janet Yellen bailed out Signature and Silicon, the senator from Oklahoma was so pissed off in the Republican inquiry. Said, how the hell did you just bail out these two banks? It's illegal according to the Dodd-Frank Act. And she said, well, you know, we decided it was an uber majority decision with the FOMC, which is the Federal Reserve, myself, the FDIC, and the president, that if we didn't do it, the banks would blow up. It was too systemic. So the whole system would blow up. So we bailed them out, but it won't come at the expense of the taxpayer. Yeah, right. And he says, okay, so then if a bank fails in Oklahoma, are my constituents going to be bailed out? And she says, no, they'll be bailed in, meaning anything over 250 that the bank goes under, over the FDIC limit, which, by the way, they have $128 billion in assets, FDIC, backing $18 trillion in deposits, less than 0.5%. But anyways, anything over that amount, according to the Dodd-Frank law that was passed in 09, is bailed in. You are an unsecured general creditor of the bank, period. And you'll lose that. So all of the banks that have failed so far have been gobbled up by JP Morgan or a few other regional banks. That won't happen before it's all said and done. And people will lose everything. So I would much rather go directly to treasurydirect.gov. You go right to the United States government, treasurydirect.gov, and you sidestep all the bank intermediary risk and go right to the government and buy 6 month or less in duration treasuries, which you can select that and get your money out. That and precious metals and maybe some Bitcoin, if that's your thing, fine. But the way to succeed is to minimize your exposure to the U.S. dollar and try as best you can to broadly diversify within that ideology. And stocks, bonds, and real estate would not be the place to go, with the exception of farmland. So farm, oil and gas, precious metals,
energy, you know, energy, food and energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you will need. And again, they're all commodities.
And people can switch their IRA. Right? They can switch their 401ks. I mean, these are reasonable things. I've looked into your, you know, we've been working for a long time together. So I know your pricing is at the very, very competitive. And you're also, your service is amazing because nobody ever complains. I just get positive. So that usually, if your service is bad, I know. Right? Because people will tell me.
Well,
Instead, I just hear
that's
positive.
Something that I'm very proud of. And I appreciate you saying that. We've never had a customer complaint in 34 years and almost $10 billion in sales. Never. We've screwed up. We try our damnedest to make it right.
Everybody does.
We have a website that has pricing up to 10 grand. If people were to send us an email and say, Sarah sent me, it's really important, at info@milesfranklin.com, we will send you a price list that is way more competitive than almost every company in America. We are a hybrid model for very small orders. You can buy on our website at decent prices. If you want really good prices, send us an email at info@milesfranklin.com with anything you heard on this interview, questions on IRAs, questions on geopolitical events, anything. All of my brokers, not only are my oldest, dearest friends, going back to most of them till childhood, but many of them in their own right had very distinguished careers before. They started with me on Wall Street, graduates from Wharton, master's degree in business administration from Temple. I mean, you name it. They're very sophisticated, all of them, and very smart. So they're not order takers. They'll take your order, but they'll talk with you in a very sophisticated, educated manner with no obligation. Ask for prices. We'll give that to you, or ask any questions. We'll do that for you. No obligation and no harassing phone calls or pressure tactics. And our main goal is not to sell anything other than vanilla ice cream, so to speak. American Eagles, American Gold Buffaloes, Canadian Maple Leafs, 1 ounce gold bars. You're talking very, very vanilla generic things that give you immediate liquidity at a time when you do not want complexity. You do not want profit potential on something rare. You want bullion. And that's what we will get you, the rare, if you want it. But we focus on ounces in a very liquid form. And if they come from you, you know, we have a nice relationship going back a long time. My entire company appreciates the hell out of that. And I do personally. And I'll make damn sure that you won't get that first complaint. And if we ever do, I promise you we'll make it right. And then some. So I thank you, Sarah. I love coming on your show. I watch everything you do. I'm a fan. And I consider you a friend, and I thank you for the kind words. Really, really do.
Thank you so much, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise.